to make an announcement that those of you at Market Street, I'm sure, will be happy about as well. Brother and Sister Monroe and Yvonne Presnell have expressed their desire to be identified with the church here, to become a part of the work at Market Street, and so we welcome them back, I'll put it that way. So we're glad to announce the decision that they have made and look forward to working with them more closely and in different ways in days to come. And hope all of us are interested in working with each other in the kingdom of God. I want to begin to continue the thought, as the song suggested to some degree at least. That's expressed in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, a passage that is you're fully acquainted with, I'm sure, or at least most of you are, where the text simply says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now that's not a really a difficult passage, as it stated, or to comprehend. And we might wonder at the very first part of that statement, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." You might say, well, that's taken for granted, is it not? How can you please someone in whom or about whom you have no faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But when we look at the rest of that chapter and see what the writer is talking about, then it takes on a little bit more meaning to us, and even a challenge to us, because he's not talking about just some kind of faith or a sense that God is, as the passage suggests, but it certainly rules out as well the concept, well, as long as one is just has some kind of faith, and as long as one is affected somehow or other by God religiously. No, without faith it is impossible to please God. You simply cannot do it, and neither can I. And the context would tell us, without a certain kind of faith, it is impossible to please Him. Just the idea that there is a God somewhere in this vast universe, and that He exists, and I believe that, and you know, how, whatever I feel like doing by way of honoring Him, whatever meaning that might have, is no. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and it doesn't end there, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the part of the passage that may be difficult for all of us to some degree, is it not? Not just believing there's a God who created the world and created the universe. We can see that as demonstrated in around us in nature and as other passages talk about. But that He rewards the diligent seeker of Him. And that takes on, therefore, a sort of different meaning and perspective than what a lot of people think about when they think about seeking God and believing in Him and pleasing Him. So we need to know what this diligent seeking involves, and searching for God and for His way and for His will. And that's the thrust of the lesson this morning. If you're looking with me there in Hebrews chapter 11, it's interesting to me, and I'm not sure I know the reason for this, but the way that that's stated in the middle of a list briefly above it and then a longer list below it, I suggest to us that the placement of that passage in that context suggests something to us. We could go back up to verse 2, and he talks about, "By faith the elders obtained a good report." talking about the elders under the Old Testament, likely. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's something more to how this world began than just what we see out here. Cannot be explained simply on that basis. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And then, in the middle of that and what follows, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That seems to be a given, doesn't it? Based on the discussion. And I don't know why, and I don't propose to know why, that is inserted in the middle of all of this list of things where he says that so-and-so did such-and-such by faith, and that pleased God. But perhaps we are inclined to think, as I mentioned a moment ago, that just some kind of faith and any kind of faith pretty much will do. And perhaps before he gets too far into the list, at least I can sort of see it that way, before he gets too far into the list, he wants us to understand what faith involves. Without faith, without that kind of faith, you cannot please God. And then he continues the list. Right after this statement, I can think that he may have been appealing to us early on to let us know, again, what kind of faith that is under consideration. But we want to talk with you about seeking God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is. That might be easy enough. But also that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I said, that is more of a problem for me, and I suspect for all of us. God will only reward the diligent seeker. This passage and all of this text affirms. Are you a diligent seeker after God and of God? Seeking for his direction and guidance in our lives. We need that. We need to know that God is with us and that God is guiding us and that he is directing our way. I don't say that lightly. I hope that there's no one, but perhaps somebody says, well, God doesn't do that for us individually anyway. Well, he does and he will if we will allow him to do that. I don't mean without our part, obviously. That's what the chapter's about. But we do need God to guide us and to direct us in our lives. That's what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5 when he said, lean not upon your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. He didn't say in all your words, although we ought to do that too. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, we can say a lot without saying anything verbally. And we do say a lot to the world and to those who are watching us, members of the body of Christ. We say a lot, and we say a lot more most of the time by our actions than we do by our words. Because that's what really is convincing to people. That's the real thing. That's what they see. What are we saying to the world? And what are we saying to others who observe our lives? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God will direct our paths for good and in our interest, even eternal interest, if we will but do what that passage says. Trust in him and lean not upon our own understanding. Well, I understand, and here's somebody who writes about the world and how it came to be, and you can hear all of this presented in great detail in the theory of evolution and other things. and how things ought to be, and philosophical disagreements with what the Bible teaches. But that doesn't matter in the long run. In the long run, God will prevail and His Word will prevail, and so that needs to be our guiding light, if you will. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding, and acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct thy steps. We ought not have any problem saying to people, not braggingly, but if asked or as a matter of a contextual situation, God directs my steps. Now, I don't believe that passage means, based on other passages, that God makes all my decisions for me and that God has every detail of my life worked out, and that as I deal with situations and people day by day, just a matter of living and surviving and fulfilling responsibility, that God is interested particularly in this versus this in my life. But when it has a religious connotation or consequence or effect to it, God is concerned about that. And He will direct our steps if we will lean not upon our own understanding, but acknowledge Him. Isn't that what the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 when he said, "The way of man is not in himself"? We need some direction and some guidance from outside ourselves. We're not sufficient of ourselves to do that, spiritually speaking. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. So the wise man said, allow God to do that. Trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Rely upon Him. And we have His Word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, study, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. A workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Somebody says, well, you know, as long as you have faith, sort of in a general sense, it doesn't really matter specifically what you believe or what you practice religiously. I'll just tell you, nearly everything I can read in the Scripture flies in the face of that. And this passage says, study. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If it's impossible for us to rightly divide the word of truth, or if it doesn't matter, why that admonition? Why that caution to us and warning? Give diligence, apply yourself to knowing God's will and to doing God's will and to seeking His will. As Jesus said in Matthew 7 and at verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Does it make any difference? Well, absolutely, as I've said. Every passage basically that I can think of dealing with this subject says it makes a difference. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's who's going to heaven. So it's not a matter of just saying, oh, I have faith and there are all kinds of faith. No. Without faith it is impossible to please God, and that's the faith that seeks God and seeks His will in our lives. It's not one that's just satisfied with some kind of emotional response or feeling. Seeking after God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He rewards the diligent seeker. I ask you, are you a diligent seeker? Are we sure about that? Do we apply ourselves, or do we just say, well, you know, I'm a member of the church? In the long run, if that's all we are, a member of the church, that won't get the job done either. But seeking God and seeking His will in our lives. And I want to emphasize that in this passage, as I've already mentioned in Hebrews 11, after a few verses of saying, this is what so-and-so did, this is what Abel did, this is what Enoch did, and you can't please God without doing that. He continues at verse 7 then, in passages that you're familiar with, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What's that? Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now that fear is, as we talked about in class this morning, if one is in right relationship with God and wants to go by God's word, he's not just agonizing all the time about his spiritual condition. But he moves with fear when God says something. And that's not that agonizing fear, but a kind of respect and reverence for God, because there is punishment, even eternally, for those who do not fear. Fear God and keep His commandments. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, for this is the whole of man. It's what man's all about. It's our duty. Fear God and keep His commandments. There's a sense in which we are to fear God, as Noah did. So when God said, build the ark, Noah moved. He didn't sit and argue with Him, and He didn't look about Him and say, well, you know, everything looks pretty good. I don't see any chances of that happening. After all, what's the chances that would happen? No, he just moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so seeking God in the way that he will reward us, seeking Him diligently involves our continuing to seek Him in our lives on a daily basis. We like things easy, don't we? And that's the way society is in general. We don't like for things to get involved and to be difficult. We just sort of like things to go along smoothly. And that way we can go along with them smoothly. But not Noah. He wasn't satisfied with that. It's hard for us to imagine what he took on himself when God said, build an ark. What? Build an ark. There's going to be a flood. The world's going to be destroyed. Build an ark, Noah. He moved with fear. I don't read that he asked a lot of questions about it or that he sort of argued with the Lord about it. That needs to be our attitude as we approach God and as we approach serving Him. When God says something, we need to move with fear, a respect, a reverence, to honor Him, and so as to avoid the punishment associated with not doing so. And I'll not spend a lot of time on the rest, but just look with me briefly at the verses that follow here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now that's the right kind of attitude. God says, do this, and Abraham didn't argue about it, evidently. He just obeyed. He just went out. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't know evidently about the place where he was going. At least he didn't know where it was at this time, not knowing where he was going, where he went. Matter of fact, the next verse says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. This was Abraham, the rich man, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And here's why he did that. Verse 10 tells us, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If we're looking for a city, the city that Abraham was looking for, we won't have a problem with getting up and beginning to do and continuing to do what God says. We may not understand all of the ramifications of it, but we will do it as Abraham did. All that land and all of those pastures and all of the cattle and so on, that was not ultimately what Abraham was looking at. But he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And that continues right on down through verse 17, mentioning Abraham again. Verse 16 says, they desire a better country and are pilgrims here that is an heavenly. That's what Abraham was looking for, a better country that was a heavenly place. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And the story continues of various ones who did what they did by faith. But the question comes to our minds and our attention, what about you? What about me? Are we too easily satisfied with what we see around us and with our possessions and with our comfort and with our ease? A lot of people are. And if you tell them you need to, as the Lord did the rich man, what lack I yet? I've done all of these things. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. Too much in love with it. It may be that we're too much in love with things, whatever the nature of those things may be, to serve God as we ought to serve Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says. We have a limited time to do what God says with respect to seeking Him first in our lives. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 beginning. And culminating in verse 9, where he says, seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He may be found. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so let everybody forsake his way, his own way, and accept the Lord's way. Back over to the 11th chapter again. As I've said, Abraham was not going to live here forever, and he knew that. He didn't know where he was going to be exactly with the description of it, but he knew he wasn't going to live here forever. And you and I are not either. Sickness and disease and death will overtake us if something dramatically doesn't happen prior to that. And I suspect as we get older, we are more and more impressed with that truth than when we're younger, and that's only natural that we would think about that differently as we grew older. And maybe things that appealed to us earlier do not appeal to us nearly as much anymore. But with Abraham, we need to be looking for that better place, for that eternal city of God, for that heavenly place, the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verses 13 through 16 of that 11th chapter, the text talks about Sarah receiving strength to conceive seed. And then at verse 13, he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country and heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. We're going to continue to live in some way and somewhere, not in the physical body, not in this fleshly body, but in eternity. And the Bible doesn't talk about but two places. That's heaven and that's hell, as identified in the Scripture. And God has given us some guidelines. He's drawn them out for us, if you will. And He said, here's how to get there. But until we make up our minds that that's more important to us than this world, we'll not do what God says do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved is an easy passage, but people seek all kinds of, go to great lengths to try to find some way around that. You wouldn't believe sometimes the degree of the attempt to try to circumvent what God has said. But He's also said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it may be this morning that in this audience there may be those present who have not done that. You have not obeyed the gospel. You have not been baptized into Christ, as the passage we noted that the Lord stated in Mark 16:16. Not really complicated and involved and requiring great intelligence to understand it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that settles it. Whatever else we may think about that. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as one who is a Christian has obeyed the gospel. That's not language that's all that difficult to understand. We're children of God by faith. As Paul wrote to the Galatians and said they were children of God by faith. And then he said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This world is not our home. We're not going to live forever and we're not going to live here forever. But we can live in heaven with God forever if we will but do His will and seek Him and His will in our lives. And if there's one who needs to do that and that's not been your goal, but you want to make it your goal that one day that heavenly city can be yours where we can live in eternal joy and eternal happiness, you can do that. You can take the measure that the Lord provided. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We'd be glad, more than glad this morning to assist you in doing that. Maybe that you have and that you've not continued faithful. You've not continued to seek the Lord first in your life. And you want to change that. Because you too are looking for a city whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God. You need to confess wrong if that's the case and seek God's forgiveness according to His will. And if we can assist you in that as well, we'd be more than happy to do that. While together we stand and as we sing, won't you come?